I was going to try to look for a new microphone, and I didn't. So here we are back on the Yeti.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it sounds okay.
I mean, it sounds fine. I'm sure we'll hear your dog eventually, too, so.
Yeah, he's already been. Actually, you know what? He's so much quieter. It's rare that he actually barks, but it does happen. He did it while we were waiting for this.
It must be that thinner Colorado air. He doesn't want to waste any of it.
No, it was the training that cost as much as a car.
Oh,
that was it for my sanity. That's the main thing.
Now, what I'm trying to figure out is what kind of car it costs.
And listen, I mean, there's a wide variety of cars, yeah, but costs have gone up on them.
Could mean a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, your money doesn't quite go as far as it used to.
I mean, Mike just bought that Miata for what, $1,200, $1,500, something stupid like that?
Can't blow up Mike's spot on a car on the podcast. It doesn't work. If his consumers start to catch on.
Oh, God. God forbid I ruin Mike's side hustle.
I'm going to give a shout out to Mike on this, and it's going to sound like a backhanded compliment. Jesus. Going to sound like a backhanded compliment here, but I'm going to say it anyways. He's got like 55 star reviews on Facebook Marketplace.
Wow.
And I, you know, it's Mike. He's awesome and he's trustworthy, and it's not that surprising, but it's a little surprising.
And he sells things all the time.
He does.
Everything's always for sale.
Yeah. 15 of those are things he was going to keep for sure. And then another 20 of them were things he was probably going to click. 15 is pretty low.
15 yeah, exactly. Is pretty low on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I've only got 13 reviews.
I think I have none. I'm pretty sure.
How do you look at that? I better look at mine.
You go to your profile, and at the very top, it says view your marketplace profile.
I think my favorite thing is that they can't give you a review. And like if you don't mark it, that they sold it. There that you sold it to them or something like that.
It might be.
Let me look at that because
hey, I've got 22 5-star reviews.
Nice.
View marketplace. Yeah.
Oh, where'd that one go?
I got one.
The guy today.
Sean has one.
What? How many stars?
One 5-star.
What does it say?
1 5-star.
I recommend this seller. It was more than what was advertised. Honest, great family. That seems weird, but I feel like I should have given more. I underpriced whatever I sold Chad. What is this?
Interesting. Yeah. I've got some written reviews too. That's interesting.
Any good ones?
Let's see. Great sale all around. Super helpful. Let me use his tools and help me load the tent onto my truck. Item was exactly what I wanted in great condition.
Cool.
Great shape and friendly.
Oh,
it's nice of them.
Guy responds very quickly with great answers.
Okay. Sure.
Which reminds me of an answer I had to give somebody. I posted Tyson's expedition that he's selling because he was having no luck on the Craigslist. And first thing I get is a comment, not a message, a comment on the ad. And it says, diesel?
No.
And I had to say, there's a picture of the engine bay, for one. That says 5.4 Triton right on the front. And for two, they never made an Expedition in diesel.
No.
And so I had to say, well, since that's not a thing, no.
Yeah, I hate that. When you've got a for sale ad and someone like asks a question like, you know, like that, right? Like it's a perfect example of it. And you have to like play the, you know, do I just say no or do I like try to teach this person why they're wrong is at the same time. Like that is a terrible place to be put in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just depends on how much time you have and how much you want to waste.
Nope. Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the nope for that one.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I will just say no. But every once in a while, I've got to be like, no, actually, in 1994, they only made 200 of these.
Break it down.
All of them had this engine. It's like, oh, why do I do that?
You just opened yourself up for more conversation.
Mm-hmm. I've been working on selling a set of springs since 3 weeks before I moved. I've had multiple offers, but one guy in particular, we've been going back and forth for, I guess 6 weeks or so total, maybe 5 weeks. And like, I went out of town, so I couldn't get him a shipping quote. And then he went on vacation or something. So he like didn't respond. And then he just hit me up today and was like, hey, if you still got those, I want them. And I was like, well, I've moved. So I have no idea if the shipping is going to be the same, but we can try. And he was just like, I'm still in. I'll send you the money. And I was like, okay, hopefully I can get these out in a timely manner now.
Marketplace is such an odd place. Like, I'm sure you guys get a bunch of people ghosting you. That's pretty typical. Mm-hmm. I'm selling the bumper that I made for Steve on the Rubicon. So that slapstick 2-hour bumper for $100. And I had this guy reach out to me, said, hey, you still have this? And I said, yeah. Asked me a couple questions, ghosted me. 2 weeks later, you still got it? Can I come by? Yeah, it's still here. You can come by. Ghost. And now he's supposed to be coming on Sunday this week, next week.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, we'll see. Gotta go visit his dad, Nadal's.
I love that too, the too much information. We had this conversation when we had Harrison on about like him and Mike selling cars, because like, I don't want anybody to know anything about me when I'm selling something. I'm not interested in becoming your friend. If it happens naturally, great, but I'm not forthcoming with information.
Yeah, I'm not here to make a friend and a sale.
Yeah. I don't have any interest knowing where you came from. Anything about your family.
Yeah. Just your mama, your dada.
Yeah.
Your mom's mom.
Yeah. It's not my thing. So same thing, like where, you know, somebody will tell you something like that. Like, well, I got to get the money together. I'm borrowing part of it from my uncle. And then I get paid on Tuesday. My taxes come in next week. And I'm just like, I don't care.
I don't need your financial breakdown for the year.
We're not doing a credit application here.
Just come and get it.
It's the worst.
Well, I've made a friend on Marketplace. Well, we're text friends. I met him from buying some parts for the 85, and I wanted some complete body panels for it, or trim pieces. And he's a Toyota nerd, and he works at the car wash up in Oregon City. And now we're just text friends, and I go get my truck washed at his truck wash or his car wash.
Okay. So you have met him in real life a few times then?
Oh yeah. I bought a couple things from him, and we stay in touch and keep planning the wheeling trip to go out in the woods, and that'll never happen because, you know, we keep it cordial, keep it digital.
Keep it digital. All right. I like that. Like me beyond that. Oh, speaking of digital, welcome to the Campfire Passport Podcast.
It is digital.
Because it is digital. Yeah. We're all digital now.
We are not analog.
We're stepping in to 2020 again. I guess we didn't start in 2020, but if we had, it would have definitely been like this.
We start what, 23?
No.
Is that when we were first? Was it early
24? We haven't been doing this a full year, have we? Yeah, we have. We've definitely been doing it a full year.
Yeah, we have.
Jeez. Feels like 6 months.
Yeah, dang. There's been a whole other Alvord trip that happened. 2 Alvord trips since this has started.
Wow. What is our anniversary date, Colin?
Ooh, anniversary date. Let's see. I am
looking it up right now. First post, April 21st, 2023. rough b-hole overland and off-road talks between friends.
That's a good episode. Shout out to the first episode. It's great.
Sound quality, actually, not the greatest. Not the greatest, but content, pretty all right.
Pretty great.
Just utter chaos, though. Wasn't that like when we had like five or six of us on it one time?
All online, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's when we learned there was a delay. First episode. We were like, oh,
working
hey.
Working that out.
Yeah. It was all right. I thought it was fun. We had a couple early hits, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But man, we didn't have...
Speaking of that, though, we did get a comment that wasn't from Jesse or Mike.
Ooh, that's good.
And it was a gentleman on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He listened to the John Carrick episode because he heard about our podcast from the Truckery podcast.
Nice.
And he said, nice podcast, and that he was going to check out more. So,
nice.
Shout out to that guy. Hopefully we can keep him interested enough to stay around.
Maybe we can get him on the Patreon.
That we don't have.
Trying to hype it up, Colin, stop.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry.
Get all access. We
still have no emails.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Not a big surprise there.
Well, that's because nobody can remember the email address. I can't.
I can.
You can.
I know what it is.
Secret RSCP.
Ooh, there you go.
@gmail.com.
Nail on the head.
Exactly.
All right. I remembered it.
All right.
All right. All right. Let's get into some news.
Ooh, news.
Yeah, some news. The one that that came up first, I think, when we were talking about what to talk about, mm-hmm. was the Jeep pop-up ads. That's kind of an interesting little thing. Some Jeep owners reported just recently that they received a full-page pop-up ad on their like infotainment screen that is asking about an extended warranty. And it gives you two options. Yeah, two options for the buttons. Call, assuming you would call to get the warranty, and okay. Not sure what okay means. Does that mean you also want the warranty? Not sure. And then there's an X.
Okay, I acknowledge that you've sent this.
Yeah, I guess.
Way.
Well, apparently if you press okay or X, it goes away. But the next time you stop the car, pops back up. So, did you guys... do any looking on this at all, or did you just see the headline?
I just saw the headline.
Okay. I looked it up.
If ridiculous. It says Jeep on it, I'm not interested. Yeah.
So there's an article on the Autopian about it, and it's from yesterday. Apparently Jeep knows about it. They like reached back out to the Autopian and made a statement on it, which was, let's see here. What did she say? This was an in-vehicle message designed to inform Jeep customers about Mopar extended vehicle care options. A temporary software glitch affected the ability to instantly opt out in a few isolated cases, though instant opt-out is the standard for all of our in-vehicle messages. Our team had already identified and corrected the error, and we are following up directly with the customers to ensure the matter is fully resolved. So, you know, it was an over-the-air error, which is kind of interesting. I don't know how many of these actually happened. Like, there's a few people that posted online. What's crazy is that that's a thing that's built into it that they automatically opt the vehicles out of, which, like, from their perspective is kind of weird, probably because they know people would hate it.
Uh-huh.
But why would you put it in the first
included
place?
It, yeah, exactly. They included it anyway.
Because that's how they... There's so many reasons why they would have that in there, Jesse.
Oh yeah,
advertising, I mean, anywhere they can get it is exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's kind of like the same as when U2 partnered with Apple and just put
album on my phone. Yeah,
like get still have it. Fuck out of
fuck
here,
right off.
I have never liked you, and I like you less somehow.
This made it worse.
Yeah, it's so such a weird thing.
There was another article in the Autopian that came out about a week ago, and the title is "There is a poop smearing bandit on the loose in Jeep's engine factory."
Oh, I saw that. I did see that one.
So Stellantis is just on fire right now.
Jesse, there's a quote in there that's like part of the internal memo or something. You should read that because it is hilarious.
Is it from the letter, "It is unfortunate for all of us to have to deal with the employee or employees that continues to create situations that are both unsanitary and certainly disturbing."
Certainly disturbing coming from a corporate level makes me laugh.
I just love that. Just like, it begs the question for us to ask, why? What is this accomplishing to perform such careless and disgusting acts?
It's a great question.
I don't know, Stellantis. Ask your HR department.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many details to that. Like, how did they figure that out? How, like, is it an obvious thing, or is it like a little bit? What's it on?
Perhaps the word smell, Sean.
Air. I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Is that on my upper lip? Nope, that's over there on the display case.
Terrible. Senseless.
There is a person that got caught at the Lake Oswego Wilco doing that.
And smearing poop on Jeeps?
No, smearing poop on the bathroom walls.
Uh-huh.
In the ladies' room. It was a middle-aged woman.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I mean, my intel from, a family member that works in the school system tells me that the girls' bathroom is actually much worse than the boys' bathroom, despite what everybody has ever said all growing up about how boys are gross and girls aren't. So, just gonna, just putting that out there. Just saying.
Oh. I don't want to get in the middle of this, but I believe it.
Yeah. Maybe it's because when we go to the bathroom, it's like, We're all business. It's get in, get out. We don't jibber jabber and talk and look at the mirror.
Well, I mean, we're talking about kids. And I only know
from the movies. I don't know. I've never been into a female. Actually, no. I accidentally walked into the girls' bathroom once at the Big Al's, and I went to go to the urinal and realized, oh my god, there's no urinals in here. About faced and left. So yeah. I've accidentally found myself in the female bathroom one time.
How many times have you found yourself there on purpose?
Never. Why would I do that?
Because it was a lead into a terrible joke. I'm sorry. In this climate, okay. I would never make a joke like that.
Trying to play me out to be.
Yeah, that was a miss. I'll be the first to admit that I missed that.
Yeah, knowing is half the battle.
Wow. Oh, I was thinking about something. I was watching our our commentary in our Instagram, group message today, and Mike was asking about the rally golf thing. He asked if it, like, a golf country was a rally golf
country.
And I was
like,
dude, we didn't imply it was an off-road vehicle. And so I listened to the podcast, and if you didn't know what that car was, you would totally think that it was something like the golf country, because I think Colin made the comment like, oh, you're gonna overland out of the rally golf. And I just moved right past it like everybody knew what I was talking about, and now I realize that, like, not really.
There's
obscure Volkswagen knowledge doesn't stick with everybody.
There's an obscure difference between the two of them, even though they're kind of the same, but they're different.
I mean, like, mechanically they're kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. But cosmetically, not even.
Yep. Very different.
I was just listening to, on my drive out here, I was listening to an article where they were talking about the Lancia, I always mess that up, Stratos, and the driving experience and, like, what the car is, and, like, in this, like, kind of obscure way that like doesn't really matter to us normal people. But it was kind of an interesting conversation because that car was built. This is very off topic, but very on topic when we're talking about rally golf. It was like one of the first cars that was built as a purpose-built rally car, like that, you know, went into production as a production car, kind of. It's a homologation car, but like they clean slated it for rally only. They didn't want it to do anything but that, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a very cool niche, little known.
Yeah.
Little
other thing, tiny thing that I learned on my drive that the same podcast, it was Jason Kamisa's podcast, which is like the Carmudgeon podcast or something. I've never listened to it before, but I had a lot of time on my hands.
And when it came to that drive, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of lost in the things that I was already listening to and ran into the end of them. So I started listening to his podcast, and he's a pretty interesting automotive journalist, and he has a really cool YouTube channel through Haggerty. And he does a bunch of like really like cinematically great videos. So highly recommend you look at them if you get a chance or if you see him pop across your feed. But he did a test on the new Land Cruiser. He did an Icons episode, he calls it, which is like he goes across like a vehicle like the Land Cruiser and like tests maybe the newest one, and they talk about the history of it and that kind of stuff. He did the newest Land Cruiser and he hates it. And that was interesting. He said that, and I'm gonna like kind of paraphrase him and probably butcher the whole thing, but like he said that it was not like a regular Land Cruiser or like what you think of as a Land Cruiser because it's too buzzy. It's the engine. He said like it wasn't, it's like not utilitarian enough to be cheaply made and buzzy, and it's not nice enough to be a luxury vehicle. So like it sits in this weird middle ground. But the interesting part was that the GX, I guess they tested them like side by side, and he thinks the GX is like, you know, significantly better, significantly more Land Cruiser than the Land Cruiser is, just based on the engine choice, which I thought was interesting. So I don't know. I still think that, you know, I'm sure driving it makes a difference. And he did like no off-road testing or anything. I think this was just like driving impression. Just
street drive.
Yeah. And so he was just saying that like Land Cruisers, like 200 series, 100 series, 80s and 60s are like, called them effortless, which I thought was funny because I have an 80 series and I would not consider it effortless, but whatever. But he was saying that like the V8 ones, like, you know, you don't really know that it's like an LS400. Like it's got a engine that makes enough power to move it down the road, but it really is unremarkable in the engine category because you can't really feel it. You can't really hear it. It's just kind of there and it propels it in, like at a rate that works basically. And well, so
you can hear my wife.
Kind of makes sense.
Really? You can hear mine. Yeah. It's got the notorious exhaust.
Oh,
leak.
The tick. Yeah.
Wow. Yep. It's just tick, 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 tick.
So, yeah. Other than that, though, they're pretty smooth, especially when you compare it to other things made in 99 or whatever. Like you drive a Tahoe versus it. It's like completely different. But
I would take that like, Land Cruiser over a Tahoe any day.
Yeah, more like a Range Rover or something like that, right?
Wow, hold on, Tony. Hey, Range Rover is a whole nother class, buddy.
That's fun you bring these two things up in this same conversation. I was just texting Colin, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
I sent him an HSE Sport, and I was like, hey, I could totally sell the Land Cruiser and buy this and make money on it. And it had the supercharged V8 in it. And then what was the next one I sent you?
You sent the an L405, the next body.
Yeah, an L.
Ooh, yeah.
And I could sell the Land Cruiser for an L405 for the same amount of money.
Really?
And have a newer car with less miles and
less reliability.
And it's a Land Cruiser.
I don't know about that one, but
you can really get those that cheap?
Yeah, don't you, Sean? We've
I know we had this whole thing
a little bit ago,
like,
and it was like they were all over the place for sub 20.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I Man, that's crazy.
I know.
What a deal.
Depreciation is great on Range Rovers. Yeah. And just because it says Land Rover on it, the depreciation is amazing.
Why doesn't that needs to happen to Defenders is the thing.
Yeah, that's the only one that it hasn't happened to.
We need those to tank.
And it never will.
I know. Yeah. I know. It sucks.
I can't bring it up. Well, maybe I can. I gotta work at it.
I would pay money for that.
Oh, any day of the week.
Anyways, I thought that was an interesting take that I don't really have enough opinion on because I don't understand the way they drive. So
I drove one.
A new one?
A new Land Cruiser, not the Lexus, not the LX, but yeah.
Recent?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
What'd you think? If you say
it was
say buzzy,
I don't know. Like, I guess I can kind of see where the guy's coming from when he says, like it doesn't have like the Land Cruiser vibe because the Land Cruiser was supposed to be a luxury SUV in a sense. Like it was supposed to be like a capable luxury SUV. I feel like the new Land Cruiser. And the funny thing, like the one I was in was like a base model, like so cloth seats, all that. Like the only option it had was the seats were heated. The steering wheel was heated, which is one of my favorite things in
new vehicles. Me too.
And it had the rear locker. Like those were the only.
I think they come like the base model has the locker.
Base model just has it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
But yeah, it kind of just seemed generic traffic-y, I guess. So it's almost like it's more more in the vein of like a 60 series, like where it was just kind of like a bare bones
or basic
SUV 4x4 thing. And it's like, it seems like that's what maybe the new ones are kind of like, which I mean isn't a bad thing, I guess, other than probably the price range that they're in, because you're going to pay that much, you would think you would have a little bit different vibe to it. But I mean, it seemed like it drove fine, and it was the hybrid one or whatever.
They have one powertrain basically on Land Cruiser and one on GX, and they're different. It's the V6 versus the four cylinder.
So. Right. And it has lane assist, and it was weird. I've never driven something with that for one. So like driving that, and then it did a little like squabble on me at one point, and I was like, the what? And then
what is going on?
Whoa. It's like, oh,
it's taking over.
Yeah. Trying to keep me That's in this funny. Lane, huh?
the point that he made, I don't know, towards the end of the spiel was like, and I wonder if you would kind of agree with this. He said that, I want to get to this. He said that the highly optioned Land Cruiser versus the GX is like a very minor difference in cost, like a few $1,000s. Mm-hmm. And you get the GX and you go, wow, like it's luxurious. It's got everything you'd think it would have. And it's quicker, and it's like it's got this more burly feeling engine. And he's like, in the Land Cruiser, you still have the engine that you're kind of and then the interior is not quite as nice, and all those kinds of things. So
yeah, I mean, what I remember from crawling around in the LX at like the expo, it seemed pretty nice inside. Like it seemed pretty well appointed. And then like to think back on that and compare it to the Land Cruiser that I drove. Yeah. It seems a little meh inside, which I mean, if that's what you're looking for is like a bare bones one, then that could work out. I mean, I don't have anything against people wanting the sub base. Low model as you can go, you know, that's a niche of its own right there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still think like they look great. I think the interior is standard Toyota. Like it just doesn't, it's not super fancy. Like, like 100 series might be or something, but it seems fine. Mm-hmm. Who knows? You know, I don't know. I think that'll be a time will tell scenario. It seems that they have plenty of off-road, you know, capability and stuff too. So who knows? This
is the car I was talking about.
It's a deal, I guess. I don't know.
This is a deal.
Man, that's nice.
So
the white interior is so bad news.
I know, but
bad news
for a mommy missile. This thing is gorgeous.
It black outside with a white inside is a. Like taking care of, like a maintenance nightmare.
Yeah. Upkeep to keep it looking nice.
Oh God, it looks cool when it's clean.
You need to invert the colors for it to be to stay nice.
when they're good, they're really good. But when they're not good, it's bad, real bad.
Yeah.
So I just put this into perspective. So this thing is $13,000. One of the new Lexus. Is like the high-end Lexus GXs is say for all intents and purposes $80,000. Mm-hmm. You could buy six of these.
Yeah, but do you want to maintain six of those?
No, I'm just saying you buy it when it breaks. Get another one,
and it'll probably be cheaper by the time you need another one because the depreciation's still going down.
Yeah. You can get a newer one.
It's true. Yeah, you can just keep moving through them. I mean, this is why none of us own brand new vehicles for the most part.
Yeah.
But I mean, man, as much as it's like it's that like playing with fire thing, because I think that thing is sweet. Would I want that to be my only vehicle?
No.
And if especially if like, let's say $13,000 is my budget and I put all $13,000 into that. And then all of a sudden when I don't know what happens to it next month, you know, like, hey, I need to get, brake rotors. How are brake rotors for those Brembo equipped supercharged Range Rovers, Colin? Are they cheap?
I mean, the rotors are really the only expensive part for that stuff is the caliper. Okay. Like the rotors are kind of like meh price wise, and so are like pads and things like that. But it's if you need to replace the calipers. Okay. Then it gets crazy because those should have the four pot calipers on it. So they're even bigger than the ones on the L322, the two pots. So
what year was that thing?
2013. You're doing the same thing I'm doing.
Looking at brake prices.
See how much it cost.
I looked this up because I think this happened to one of the employees that we used to have that had a newer S6, and it had he wasted the brakes because he's a dumb kid, and it was insane the cost to replace the rotors. Actually, you know what? It might have been Colin's E55. That actually was part of it too. Like, it's just like unbelievable how much some of those cost. These are not bad. You're right. They're fine. Yeah. They're not cheap, but they're not outrageous. So,
yeah, it's not like your standard Chevy caliper that costs $50.
Yeah,
no,
but
yeah, but anyways, they just terrify me. You can look down on everybody while you're on the flatbed.
Yeah,
these things don't need a flatbed.
But hey, if you get two of them, because if you got Land Cruiser money, you've got $23,000, $26,000. So you just buy two of them, and when one breaks, you drive the other one.
Why don't you buy one Camry? At that point,
there we go. Perfect. 1996 Camry.
I mean, you can buy 20 of those. I'm saying like a 2015 Camry, 2020, something like that.
Yeah,
but for $23,000, you could buy an almost new one.
Yeah,
so boring, but so reliable.
What did you say it was? Was it 13?
Yeah, 2013 for $13,000 with 133,000 miles on it. 136.
In there. Huh. What's, because a 13, well, you could even luck out on a 13 and get a V8 in that.
It is. It's a supercharged V8 in that one.
It's the 5-liter?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Such a bad, so good.
Like, that's what I'm saying. This is a no-brainer for me. I'm like, yeah, I want that. I know we're not playing it, but I would pay money for that.
Yeah. 503 horsepower, 461 foot-pounds of torque on those suckers. Yeah.
I'm here to see this fall apart.
And DVD players in the back for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're millennials and still have DVDs.
And if you got, if you hold out and get an autobiography, if you get a 2017, so the best one, 2017 supercharged autobiography, 557 horse, 516 foot-pounds torque.
Jeez. That's insane.
Yeah. Not to say that the 3-liter supercharged isn't terrible. I mean, that's 375. So it's like almost the power that the L322 4.2 supercharged has. That engine though, in like the LR4 is pretty awesome.
Is that the same one that they have in the, like the Jaguar, the newer like F-type Jags? Isn't that?
Yeah, that's still, that same... this is still Jag based.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, because the 4.2 that was in mine, that's a Jag as well.
So what's crazy to me is that this 2013 Range Rover is just as equipped, if not more, than my 2022 Ford F-350.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. This thing is got it all.
Yeah.
Which can be bad, too.
Well, I mean, I will...
even my older one didn't have any issues as far as the like fancy bits working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a heated windshield and it worked.
Oh, that's the best.
Heated steering wheel, so cool. Worked. AC seats worked. Like everything worked. And it was like just every option you could think of from a more modern car than it was. Like, mm-hmm. But that's why the price tag when they start is right around 100. That's why you buy them used, because they're
because they so tank much in price.
Oh my god, do they? The thing that I was looking at a bunch of things, not quite like that, but like some slightly earlier things when we were looking for the Q5, and there's some weird stuff where like that one, for example. No CarPlay. Too early for CarPlay.
Mm-hmm.
Probably has a touch screen, but might not have like Bluetooth audio. There's like some oddities sometimes that'll happen there, just based on like, not because it's bad, but like because of the time frame and the technology. Yeah. And it's really difficult or really expensive to upfit some of those things, like because you can't swap it out. You're not like throwing, you know, a radio in it like you can a 94 Toyota. So like,
yeah, the infotainment system is so much more integrated. Like mine had the TVs in the headrests with a like a 5-disc DVD changer in the back, and you know, just it had tons of stuff in the infotainment system, and like you couldn't really do anything as far as adding Bluetooth or whatever. So what it had was a previous owner had gotten some sort of adapter that plugged into the factory system to plug like an original iPod into. And it turns out that there's Bluetooth transponders that can plug into those. And so I got one of those. I mean, it was like $8. It was nothing, you know? So I got that, stuck it on there, and then right as rain, worked Bluetooth. Had Bluetooth on the car. It was good.
Yeah. It's definitely possible, like with some workaround stuff. I was looking at like Macans for a minute when we were looking for cars, and there's like a year range where like you can get Apple CarPlay or you cannot. And so for me, like that's an important thing for like commuting and like using it day to day. I know it's possible to not, but like I don't want to deal with not having it for a car that I want a road trip in or something. That is actually kind of a deal breaker for me. So got to get a 17 and newer or whatever. Like that's kind of the catch there sometimes. If it's not a priority, then who cares? Like whatever, like your Range Rover, if you're cool with Bluetooth audio and that's it, then awesome. You run the little iPad mount and go to town. Like it's fine.
Yeah.
But
I was fine with it.
Yeah.
That's why one of the first modifications to the Land Cruiser was get a new Bluetooth Apple CarPlay head unit.
Yeah.
And that's still for a 2000 with no interface. That was $640. And I'm still not done because I still haven't done the amp bypass.
Oh, God.
That's so one of those things.
Does it sound terrible or do you have to like have it at volume 2 and it's mid volume?
Oh, it does get a little bit louder than what you would anticipate for the level, but
yeah.
the hard part is constantly hearing the alternator whine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Unfortunate for Anna, I don't have to write into it. I don't have to write in it every day, so I kind of forget about it until I get in the rig, and I'm like, shit, I got to finish this.
That's funny. I have one news and one would you pay money for this, actually.
Whoa.
Just in case Colin had something.
Stealing my gig. Man. God,
man. Thunder gone.
You know, it's funny. I found my would you pay money for this while looking for news, so. Kind of interesting. And I realized that I could have used my news story for a would you pay money for this too, because it's actually for sale. But The Drive has an article about a 200,000 mile 2022 Tundra that is for sale. And that is important because it's the twin turbo V6 that we were talking about in our last episode.
Yeah.
So it is still covered under the warranty to have the engine replaced if it fails, because they have like an unlimited mileage or something on the engine replacement, apparently. Thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if it's the highest mileage out there, but I've never seen one with that high of miles. And it's I think they know.
Bringing it up.
Oh, I can. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about
you're
it.
Talking about it.
Would have been nice if you could have brought it up, Sean. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Share the screen. You know, let the viewers see it.
All right. 200,000 mile 22 Tundra with a twin turbo V6. That's a lot of T's. Shows it's possible.
Jesus Christ. 200,000 miles in, let's say, 2 years.
Basically 2 years, yeah.
300 miles a day is what they said.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice-looking truck.
Yeah.
It's black, too. 210... 444 in October 2024. 25 service records from Toyota dealerships. No visible signs of damage. It actually looks really nice inside too, like for that many miles. Like it's got some slight bolster stuff, but like those are highway miles.
Yeah, I was gonna say those are highway miles, so that's not 200,000 miles of getting in and out of a truck after a 20-mile ride.
Sure.
But still, I mean, 200,000 miles, I will not disagree. It looks fantastic.
Yeah. And it's a good truck. What was it? Oh, guess what it cost? This is kind of fun. I saw, I'm going to find it. But while I'm looking.
Like new when they bought it?
No. Like what is it for sale for right now?
Oh, okay.
$36,900.
Okay.
Is what I see it now.
26.5. Sorry, Colin.
I wouldn't have known where to go with that.
It's kind of a weird guess. Like I wouldn't have known when I saw 26, I was like, I don't know. Is that a good deal? It seems like it might be not the worst deal. I really don't know.
I mean,
I don't even know what to compare that to.
It'd be tough. Like when you think about it, it's probably tough to get something that new and of that, you know, class of vehicle for that kind of price. I mean, you know, I'm sure you can get fucking Kias and Hyundais left and right for that are that new for that type of money. But like, you know, the quote brand tax on it, if it was somewhere in the brand taxable brands, I don't know. I
can buy two Range Rovers.
That's true.
With half the miles.
Well, and, cumulatively, it'd be more miles, but
arguably a nicer vehicle.
I mean,
like on the inside.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
nicer. I was trying to see if I could find like a super or a F-150 that was like anywhere in comparison. A 50,000 mile 22 F-150 XL, so a base model truck, like 33, you know what those seem to cost? Right in that range.
Okay.
Like Lariat, nice one is 50 with 30,000 miles, so, you know, wide variety there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if that motor is still under warranty, you could just buy it, then put a brick on it in your driveway, let the motor blow up, and then take it in and be like, oh, I need a new motor. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It must have been the sediment left over in the motor.
Exactly. They won't take it apart and figure it out. It doesn't matter.
No, they won't. They won't see little brick stains in the bottom. Not brick stains.
Brick dust. Like, you know,
some dust. Some rubble.
Yeah.
I'm a mason.
Didn't vacuum it before you brought it in.
Foiled again.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let's see what your pay money for this is, I guess, huh? Since you already gave the lead in to it sounds like you're just raring to go for
it. I am. You gonna play the audio? There it is. Okay.
That little flare at the end's the best.
It really is. So the title of this, before you guys see the picture, is my favorite little byline and title there is. This unsettlingly wide Jeep Cherokee is real, and you can buy it. It's 14 inches wider than your typical XJ. This 89 Cherokee looks like something out of a video game, but it exists, and it's for sale in Denver.
Oh, well, there you go, Sean.
Look at this thing. Look at it.
When I read the title, I immediately thought, I was like, oh, is this an XJ on tons? Like, is that why it's super wide?
No.
God, no.
If you're listening to this and you're thinking, what would happen if you took an XJ and added 14 inches to the center of it? This is exactly what you think. There's no frills here. It's 14 inches wider. That's it. It's so right in the middle. It looks like it was Photoshopped.
It looks like a Chinese knockoff of an XJ.
The back is so awkward. I don't even, and they had to put deep dish wheels on it to get it to fit. I don't know. I don't understand. Yeah, they must have put super low offset wheels.
So it's got the stock width stock axles on it and just really wide wheels.
Yep. Oh, man. It's got a winch, so it's got that going for it. The interior, they say, is a bit less polished than the exterior. And it's basically just got an extra storage piece in the middle. And
two glove boxes.
I can't figure out where, like, it doesn't really have good enough pictures for me to figure out where the other space is. Like, it looks like the passenger seat sits
so the seats
really are, far away from the center.
The seats
console.
Are just really far from the console.
Yeah, like 7 inches on either side away from the console.
You can't even lean on it.
I guess. I don't know. It makes no sense.
Does it say why it is this way?
Yeah.
Why not?
How did it get here? How did it get to be like this?
Let's see if it says that? No. I don't believe it does.
Weird.
Worldwide Vintage Autos out of Denver. Has 250,000 miles on it, by the way.
242,
33s. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is what it is.
It's got those fancy Rancho 5000 shocks on her. Shoo dang.
No.
Do you want to know the price?
I'm a no as well. I don't care what the price is.
Yeah.
Can you guess? No. I know that you're both going to hate this game too, but can you guess the price?
$26,000.
Yeah, the same price as that Tundra.
Yeah.
It's a measly $14,000.
Hmm. Still not worth it to me, but all right.
That's what I said.
I would rather go buy an XJ with the same amount of miles on it that hasn't been butchered and split down the center.
Yeah, what a weird thing. I'm not a fan. I am also a no, pretty solidly, but this dealership has a bunch of good Land Rovers. I was trying to find it to see if there was any more interior photos or like info about it. Mm-hmm. And I can't find it. They got some cool stuff though.
That's probably why they're ditching this thing.
If you want to spend $25,000 on something interesting, this dealership has it for you. 70 Impala, 454, 19,000. 94 F-350 crew cab, 27,900.
And that dealer is in Denver, you said.
Yeah. Like 93.
You could go down there and look at it in person.
93. I know, I should. 93 Defender 110, 16,900.
You and Luke could go together. Take it on a test drive.
This is a field trip. We can live stream.
Yeah. What year was that Defender?
93, 110. And
for how much?
16,900. It is a soft top. It is not a fancy one. But they have so many OBS Fords. It's insane. I'm going to hold on.
I'm going to give them a call.
Yeah, I got to. Sorry, I got to go, guys.
Should have found what I want.
Look at this stuff. Look at these.
Okay, bullnose. There's arrow nose. Nice. Yeah.
There's the Defender. Another.
Oh, okay.
This Impala is nice. That's not what I want, but it's a perfect platform for a dock.
Man, I want that 350 crew cab. Yeah.
Yeah, I told you. Scout, look at this 300D, 12.9. Huh? Holland and Holland Edition LS swapped Range Rover. Oh.
Shit, nice. There you go, Sean. That's the daily right there. Is...
Yeah.
I'd rather have that than that fucking Tundra. P38 with a nice. LS.
Look at that intake. Gross.
Whoop. All right. We got to get it around that AC compressor somehow, right?
Oh, that's a car intake. It must be an LS. That's interesting.
That's cool.
I'd really like to find that ugly Jeep.
Yeah, see if it's still in
Spider
here.
Spider replica. Look at this swap sign. Kind of cool.
Nice.
Nash Metropolitan, a Greenbrier. This is amazing.
Where are they keeping these things?
I don't know, but I think I have to go check it out. Like an
indoor warehouse or something that they've got? There's a Scursion for 20.
Can you send me the link to this, Sean?
It is worldwidevintageautos.com.
That's not sending it to me. That's telling me.
Man.
I can, no, but you know. Shout
out. Hey, wait, go back up. Right up a little more. That guy. The Plymouth.
Yeah.
Isn't that
41 Special Deluxe? Yes. It is. Is this like the one in the
Greece?
Greece? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It is.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Pretty cool car.
They're closed. I mean, we can't call them.
Yeah, it's almost 9 o'clock.
Still got that weird XJ over there?
Oh, so.
I'd like to go take a look at that.
It looks like they do all of these on consignment. So they must.
That makes more sense.
Bring them in.
Bring them in, clean them, do photos. Yeah.
And then send them back with the owner.
Yeah. So, they might have some of them there.
They probably charge them extra to store.
Man, I haven't seen one of those in how long.
Either. This is so cool.
Man.
Wow, this is where we need to go just to find all of our would you pay money for this. But I think I mean, defeat the purpose of it.
Yeah, everybody's paying money for these.
I haven't found much that I wouldn't pay money for. I don't like Bronco 2s very
not
much.
Not Bronco 2 fan. No. I can square these bird. Thunderbirds are ugly too. A grenader.
I still can't find this damn XJ though.
Another 110. See, there you go. There's real 110 prices. 160. Yeah.
77,000 miles on a 93 Bronco. That's pretty sweet.
Wagoneer down there.
Yeah, what's the Wagoneer price? 21.
21.9.
Yeah, seems right.
I'm telling you, this is stock. Typhoon. Sweet spot. Oh yeah.
32 for a Typhoon.
25,000 miles.
It's low. Fuck.
Yeah.
Somebody bought a Typhoon, didn't even use it. Weird.
Ooh, look at that. That Series 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Was that the fiber fab?
Yeah, that thing was ugly.
Yep, yeah, bad.
But
keep scrolling. That's gross.
ZR1?
Oh, come on.
The wrong Porsche. Yeah.
Wow, look at this. Whoa, Yukon.
That's got a Yukon.
I would pay money for that.
Man, yeah, if that isn't a sweet home, I don't know what is.
Please tell me it has boggers on it.
Yeah, if it's got boggers on it.
Of course it does.
Come on. They might even be cut. No, they're just
perfect. Yeah, perfect.
Look at those shock boots.
Yep.
They're purple. They match everything else.
Mm-hmm. Just like the flames.
Man. Still no XJ.
For the listening audience, for not being able to see all these gems.
91 FJ75 Land Cruiser pickup.
Oh.
Tell me it's left-hand drive. It's left-hand drive.
Yeah, that's...
I love it. I love
that's
it.
That's the one, then.
Yeah.
You want one. Don't have to deal with the right-hand drive bullshit.
Look at that. Is it a gas one, too? Because it's an FJ? Yeah. That's cool. I'd be into that. Oh, I'd also be into this. Yeah, this place is just...
I feel like we could spend an entire podcast on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just oogling. Oh, look at that one. Mm.
Another Defender for another 130.
That one's got a crate R28 Cummins turbo diesel with a 6L80. That's got to be interesting to drive. Yeah, still no XJ.
I mean, you could do the filters and just
put no. I want to see all this stuff.
Then we're going to miss all these. Ooh, there's an Elante.
Yeah, that's a steal. Nova K10.
Oh, hey, there's a 13 Autobiog. 510. Woohoo, for 29. And it's white.
Fender.
Lifted thing, another lifted thing.
It's just like, what? Imagine a car that's pretty cool. They probably have it here.
Yeah, it's probably here.
Yeah. Unless it's that 14-inch wider XJ.
Cherokee Chief for 86.
Oh, look at this. Look at this two-door LS in it. Oh, it's got a Coyote motor in it. God, swing and a miss.
Close.
Close.
I mean, you could always get it, take the Coyote out, sell it to somebody there for a profit. That's
best in show. In it.
Best in show.
16 of 25. Dale Earnhardt.
Monte Carlo SS.
I was Monte say, Carlo that SS. Needs a pack of Marlboro Reds and a Dale hat.
Look at that. Look at that front end.
It's the front end only a mother could love.
That's right. Got the champion badge on the back, the signature. This is great. I need clean this trunk with my dog in the passenger seat. This is terrible. Okay. Well, that is enough of that.
Yeah. It's clean, but you know.
And it's only got 3,733,000 miles on
it. You're not going to put some miles on that. You some kind of idiot. Yeah. That's what, a collector's that is a race item. Car?
All 3,000 miles are at the track doing the pace laps.
Oh, I was going to say, you just drive that to church on Sunday. That's it. Show off.
When the weather's good.
You got to stop at the local corner store for lotto tickets and Marb Reds, though.
Yeah.
Well, you don't smoke in it.
Bush Light.
You smoke outside the car.
Can't well, actually, you look the coolest. You don't look cool smoking in a car. You look cool smoking outside
next
the car.
Next to the car.
Leaned against next it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's
while it. Pumping gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. How about?
Oh, I did.
Where do I want to start with this?
Did you guys look at that Everest that I sent?
But you know, we've talked about those.
Oh, we have.
That's the Ranger-based SUV thing.
Move along.
Midsize SUV.
Yeah, mid-size except SUV. It has a diesel and is not sold in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm gonna move to this.
That.
Yes,
71521 yes. For 8500.
Oh, it's got a beam.
This has got a 3SGE beams in it, buddy.
In.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to look at anything. I just saw the picture. I'm like, yep.
Yeah. Lowered 15x8 Boyds tinted wheels, Sound deadening, carpet
center paint. Exit exhaust is great.
Yeah. steering wheel, shift knob, pinstriping. Cons, not so good. Rough idle when first start.
Why does it say best?
I don't know.
It's like best case scenario. It's like a rough idle
with a quote before best, but not after best. So I don't know. Driveline broke a year back and dented the cab floor pretty good, but you can't see it unless you look under the truck. Well, yeah.
All right. That makes sense. That's good.
Engine bay needs paint, stock suspension and brakes still. Might be scary to slow down in that thing then.
There's a solid chance it has drums in the front.
Oof. That could be scary. But it's got a great
it's very cool
green patina on it.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's got the beams.
Man, I'm into that.
Yeah, it's way cool.
I hate those mirrors, to be honest with you, but yeah, otherwise it's great.
The big truck mirrors, yeah.
Yeah.
Need some fender mirrors on that thing and
oh yeah,
move on down the road a little bit lower. Yeah, it's weird, cool.
Clear taillights, but still so cool.
Well, I mean, all the lights are clear. The corners, too.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I saw
it's a theme.
Oh, the it's first picture had rear red markers on it. So that must have been a change.
Wow, that's impressive that you picked that out. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
You got right it.
There. Yeah.
Old I wonder if it must be like lowering blocks and stuff.
Yeah, it says 4-inch blocks, I think.
Oh, it said that, yeah.
4-inch blocks and monoleaf.
The one that Dustin had, we did basically that same setup, and it rode so bad. It had like an inch of travel and no spring rate to it, so it was just not good. But it sure looked cool.
Sure did look cool.
That's rule number one.
That's when it counts, right there, yeah. All right, well, that's that one was easy.
Win.
Okay, so we are going to see here. So we go. Let's see, which way do I want to go? Let's do this one instead. We're going to do this. Speaking of Land Rovers, 03 yep.
Oh
double
my God.
Cab, and it's nice 1,000. yeah, 103 with 15,000 kilometers.
Total mileage unknown.
Yeah.
I'm already in.
From Poland. So originally from Poland and then got to Canada via the Netherlands in 2020.
Oh, this is fun. This story is
it's
pretty good.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to read through this, but when it arrived, it's 99% perfect, meets all Canadian requirements for legal registration. Truck registered in BC.
This line I really like. I drove it over the border and it is 100% legal on the road in the US, but it does need to be registered in Canada as it's not 25 years old.
25 years old yet. Yeah.
So,
it's
not wrong, but
it's close.
It's close. You know, if you could sneak around in it for a little while before you do that, unfortunately it's got 18s on it, which,
easily changeable.
Yeah.
Unlike getting the vehicle.
Yeah. Not.
Yeah. Much easier to change the wheels. Oh, man. It's very nice.
God, I love that.
Yeah. And it's left hand drive.
Left hand drive.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah. It's got a modern stereo in there. Modern from when I was in high school.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually probably brand new. It looks like a Kenwood that's like within the last couple of years.
It looks just like some of the ones that I've had in previous vehicles I had. Yeah.
We installed it a few different times, doubled in size radios in those. You can get like a whole replacement center panel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, this asshole's got two of these fucking things.
Wow.
God, and a CRX. That one's got a Texas plate on it. What the hell? What? Where is this guy? Man, yeah, it's nice. Definitely would pay money for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's my dream rig right there.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't do. Should ask him if he'll trade for a 18 Colorado low miles.
Close to that. And on 37s. It doesn't leak, I swear.
Doesn't leak. It doesn't anymore. I fixed that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did you put some? Did you put some Lucas stop leak in it?
No, I didn't. I actually fixed the problem.
I didn't use this, by the way.
I didn't.
And I meant to give it back.
The problem. All right, here we go. This thing right here is a 64 Ford C600.
Oh.
And it's dumped.
Yes.
Colin, what? You're just bringing us cool stuff.
Been a huge project getting near the end, but when I bought a house, originally naturally aspirated 6.6 diesel, converted to a 5.9 24 valve Cummins with an Allison 2000. ECM data shows less than 90,000 miles. Old school bus engine is what it is. Runs and drives like a dream. Steering aside, needs a little more work because it wanders.
It wanders.
Okay. So many hours into this. Air ride, 10 inches of travel, in-cab controls, and gauges, new air brakes all around, rebuilt, geared rear end, made to handle super single on the front. Haven't painted the rims black, but they're included with 40% Michelin rubber. Replaced the lift pump with a FAS and replaced injector pump with a blue chip, upgraded VP44 pump, all custom gauges, fuel gauge doesn't work. Leather heated seats, have retractable seat belts if desired. 3-inch straight pipe dumper with optional mufflered exhaust.
Okay.
Mufflered exhaust.
That's a good word.
Yeah. All lights, etc. work. Custom grill and bumper. Have everything to finish.
Oh, I mean, what's not finished? That's cool.
I love that. Oh, it man. Is... Could you imagine throwing the crawler on the back of that?
That would be so cool.
Oh.
I have no idea what I'd do with it, but God, I love it.
Yeah.
God, just throw the 80s on the 80 series on the back of it. Drive it around.
Yo, oh man. This is in Oregon. Interesting.
How much did he want for it?
Scroll up. 20.
That's not bad. Okay. Yeah, I'm sold. Take my money.
Yep.
What kind of bed would you put on there, Jesse? Just a flat bed, like a tow bed thing? What do you call those? What do you call that?
A deck?
A deck, sure.
Oh, you're talking about a tilt deck?
Rollback. Rollback. That's the word.
Oh, yeah. The rollback. Yeah.
I mean, really, you could, with the way it is, you could probably put, like, stash some ramps on the underneath of it and just slide them out.
Yeah.
Those would be some heavy ass ramps, though, to pull out.
Man, it's crazy. Well, it depends on
how steep of a ramp you want. You could make them pretty short. Look at how low it sits. The deck's only a couple feet off the ground.
And that's probably still 40. You can air up the front and air down the back and get a little bit of an angle.
Exactly. Tilt deck.
There you go. I bet that thing's still like 40 inches off the ground, though. Those tires are tall.
Oh, yeah. Man.
But still, crazy.
That thing is fucking
crazy.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. It's got the same shifter I had in the Wagoneer.
Yeah.
The old Sidewinder.
That's great.
Yeah, this thing is so damn cool. And it can roll fully laid out, too. Which I'm a little disappointed in.
It seems like it needs some work to get lower.
Lay frame.
It needs to be lower.
Everything could be lower. Oh, look. We can lower the deck a little bit. It's got freaking 6x6s holding it up.
There we go.
See? Better. So there's six inches lower you could go right there with just the deck.
I love it.
The Napa.
I don't care if the tires for the deck like come through the deck. That'd be fine. Yeah. It'd look even cooler.
Drive it away. Yeah.
Big intercooler. Man.
I want that.
See, look, and he airs it down as he's rolling. Bumpers on the ground.
Pretty darn cool.
Not bad. Yeah, so if you want a really cool rig to haul your crawler or your fucking hot rod or your drift car, anything. If you want to haul any other car, your Range Rover when it breaks down, this is the one. It's just down in Snohomish. Washington.
Snohomish. Snohomish.
Yeah.
So you could,
instead of buying a new Land Cruiser, buy that in the Range Rover. And baby, we got a stew
there
going.
There you go. Exactly.
That's right.
Got the backup rig and the rig. And so the best thing about this backup rig is you can move the rig that breaks down in it.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
You don't need a tow truck. You have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of getting stuck somewhere and then having to figure out how to get that thing. But that's a problem for later.
Yeah, I mean, that's a future problem.
Yeah,
exactly.